89.3 4CRB.
And a very good morning to you. This is John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group, back with you for another program of The Law and You this Tuesday morning. And in fact, this will be the second last program for the year. Next Tuesday will be our last program for the year, and we'll then take a little bit of a break before restarting on the 15th of January 2019. Can you believe that? So if you've got some questions or queries that you need answered, make sure you take advantage of the program today. And, of course, next week will be the last program. 21 days to Christmas today. We put our Christmas tree up over the weekend, and what an event that was. We brought the Christmas lights out and plugged them in to make sure they worked, and of course they did. So I then proceeded to put them onto the tree. 600 lights there are, all these little LEDs, and you wrap them round and round and round. Finally got it all up, plugged it into the wall. They would not go. Nothing I could do. Plugged them into about four different power outlets. They would not work. So off to Bunnings, bought a new set of lights, came home, put them all on the tree, plugged them in, worked perfectly, just about to dump the old set. And I said to Tina, oh, look, I'll just plug them in and see if, you know, I just want one more go. Plug them in, they worked. Can you believe it? So took the new set off the tree, wrapped them all back up, back to Bunnings, and put the old set back on, and they've been running like a train. So the old story, waste not, want not, that's for sure. So Christmas is coming, and I hope you're all getting ready for it. 5520888 is the number if you have a question or a query today. That number again, 5520888. And thank you to my colleague Alex Wynn, who was here last week talking on issues in relation to family law, which may be particularly relevant to this upcoming Christmas period, particularly for grandparents who may be longing to see their grandchildren, and because of the family situation, for they're not able to see them. So just some tips on that, and indeed things that parents might be able to do as well. So if you have children who are experiencing those sorts of problems and having trouble getting access to their children, or taking them away on holidays, just a few tips that I hope you found helpful. We also had a couple of calls last week, one which I took on air, and another one which I took after the program finished. But the first, very first call of the day was from June, who was calling about a problem she'd obviously had with neighbours' trees or trees on her neighbour's land. And during a storm, the trees had fallen down, presumably through the fence, and crashed down onto her land. It wasn't quite clear whether it had caused damage to her property or not. But the question that she raised was, who's liable to clean up the tree and to repair the fence, for example, or repair whatever building or structure may be damaged? And sadly, the Neighbourhood Dispute Dividing Fences and Trees Act 2011 in Queensland doesn't really help in this area, particularly where it's happened as a result of what we may refer to as an act of God. The situation would be different if there was a problem with the tree and it had been pointed out previously to the neighbour that the tree represented a danger, and that if it wasn't dealt with, it was going to cause damage, and that you would hold the neighbour liable for the damage if it was caused. But if basically it's a healthy tree and just through the severity of a storm it falls down, it appears that there's no clear guidelines about A, who's responsible for the cleanup, or B, whether the neighbour whose land the tree is on is responsible for any damage that may be caused, for example, to a dividing fence. So the only way I can see that you could really do anything about that would be to try and resolve it with the neighbour face to face and on neighbourly terms first up, obviously. But if that's unsuccessful and, you know, you're quite determined that the neighbour should contribute, then the only thing I could suggest would be to bring an application to QCAT and see what QCAT may say in relation to the matter. But enough of that. We have a caller online, so we'll say a very good morning to Bev. Good morning, Bev. How are you today?
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm well indeed. How can we help you today?
John, firmly own a farm in northern New South Wales.
Yep.
One of the brothers has just died. And, of course, what happens, unbeknown to everybody else, he's left his share of the farm to an old girlfriend's grandchildren.
Right.
Now, the problem is, we don't have a problem with that. Problem is, those children are under 10 and their mother is a drug addict.
Oh, dear.
If the farm is sold and those children's share is put in trust to them, are we responsible if she gets that money and uses it?
Well, who's the executor under the will, Bev? Is there someone nominated as executor under his will?
All of them. All the siblings.
So in other words, all of your late, this is your late brother-in-law,
isn't
it?
Yeah.
So
yes.
All of his siblings are the executors. Okay,
yes.
So they are the they are the people who would be the trustees of those funds on behalf of those children. So if the farm was ultimately sold, then they would be responsible for putting those funds into some form of investment and dealing with those monies until the children reach majority. So under the will, it very well may say, you know, that this is left to them upon their attaining 18 years of age. So if that were the case, then they would hold the funds on investment until then. But they do have the right under the Trusts Act, and normally it's also set out in the will to apply money for the education, welfare and advancement in life of the children. So it is pretty easy to ensure that a drug addict mother doesn't get her hands on those funds. For example, by paying money to the school directly for the children if you're going to be assisting with education, all those sorts of things. The other thing that you could possibly investigate would be placing the funds in the hands of the public trustee to act as trustee of the funds so that you can be rid of the problem.
Thank you very much, John. That's
all right then.
Thanks for your help.
Okay, Bev, all the very best. And the time on 4CRB is just coming up to 13 minutes after 9. That's 13 minutes after 10, Tweed Coast time. As we say, a very good morning to Sue. G'day, Sue. How are you?
Good, thanks, John. How are you?
I'm well indeed. How can I help you today?
My husband has passed away recently.
I'm sorry to hear that.
We want to change the name to house to my name.
And sorry, what was that last bit? Sorry, I didn't quite hear.
We want to change, you know, the house was in two names.
Yep.
I just put my name on it.
Yep.
So we rang up the land register services and they want a title of the house.
Yes.
We haven't got one. And we have no idea where it is.
Right. Well, the first thing you need to do is do a search at the land registry to check whether there is, in fact, a physical title in existence. How were you recorded on the title? Were you recorded as joint tenants or as tenants in common?
If he passed away, he goes to me and...
The normal way for a husband and wife to own property, particularly the matrimonial home and particularly in a first marriage, is joint tenants, so that if anything happens to either one of you, the property automatically goes to the surviving joint owner. But when I say automatically goes to the surviving joint owner, there is still a small process that needs to be gone through, which is basically what we used to call a request to record death. And so if there is a physical title that's been issued, then that physical title does need to be produced so that the title can be changed. Now, but if there is no physical title, and if you in fact have what's called an electronic title, which became quite normal in Queensland after, I think from memory around...
Yeah, I'm in New South Wales.
Oh, New South Wales, so you have a paper title.
That happened about 20 years ago.
Right, okay, so therefore there would be a paper title. So can you remember what lawyer acted for you on the purchase?
No idea. That's
okay.
I can't remember.
All right, well, what you can do then is there is a search process you can go through. So firstly, what I would suggest you do is engage a solicitor to help you with this because what you'll need to do is do a search of the title. You can then get a copy of the last transfer. So you can get a copy of the physical transfer, and that will hopefully tell you who the title deed went to after that transfer to you was registered. And so by doing that, you'll find the name of the solicitor. You very well may find the name of the solicitor who acted for you on the purchase. And if that solicitor, normally what happens in those matters is once the title is registered in your name, the solicitor will say, look, I'll retain the title in safe custody for you. And the overwhelming majority of people do leave their title deed with their lawyer for safe custody. So if that proves to be the case, well, happy days, you'll find the title and you'll be able to do that. If not, the other alternative is that you then have to make an application to dispense with the production of the title. And basically that's a process whereby in statutory declaration you say, look, I've made a diligent search to try and find this title. These are the steps I've taken to try and find it. It can't be found. I can only assume that it's been lost. And therefore I'm asking that A, you dispense with the production of the title, B, you register the record of death, and C, you issue a new title in my name.
Do I have to really take my husband's name off, or can I just leave in two names?
Well, the problem you've got there, of course, Sue, do you have children?
Yes.
You're going to create a bigger problem for them when you ultimately pass away. So I would recommend that you get it fixed up now. And this time, if you're not lucky enough to find the title and sort it out easily, this time make sure that the title is kept safe so that your children don't have the same problem when you pass on.
Yeah, so I can't find nothing about the house when we bought it. Not a thing.
Yep.
A lot of other things we found, but not that.
Right, okay. Yes, well, so did you have a solicitor at that time? For example, did you make wills with a solicitor or something like that?
Maybe not with that one, no.
Because
we've done a will in Victoria.
Okay. All right. Well, look, unfortunately, I think the searching process will be your best option. So get onto your solicitor. Get onto your solicitor. Get them to do a search to find out, where the last title deed went, because there'll be, when your transfer was registered, there'll be a notation on that transfer. There very well may be the name of the solicitor who acted for you, who signed the title correct for registration, or alternatively, there may be a notation on the back of who collected the title deed after the transfer was registered.
Oh, okay, good.
All right, then.
Okay, then, yeah, good, thanks very much.
Okay, then, Bev, all the very best. And the time on 4CRB is just coming up to 18 minutes after 9, 18 minutes after 10 Tweed Coast time. We'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Michael Hare. If I'm not your optometrist, I'd like to be. At Vision Michael Hare, we have a genuine care for your vision and eye health. Did you know your yearly health fund rebate for optical would likely expire on December 31st? If you don't use it, you'll lose it. See Vision Michael Hare for a new pair of glasses or prescription sunnies with little or no gap to pay. Make the most of your health fund entitlements. Vision Michael Hare Optometrist, 17 Narang Street, Southport and Benoa Gardens Shopping Centre. Station sponsor.
For financial advice that puts you and your goals at the centre of every conversation, contact our sponsor AMP Advice Miami. Financial advice that's more than just numbers. Contact us today on 55541000.
And this is The Law and You on 4CRB. Your chance for free legal advice, but only for the next 11 minutes. So if you need a question or a query answered, get on that telephone straight away. 55208888 is the number. 55208888. Don't forget, if you're south of the Tweed River, you need to put 07 in front. Otherwise, you'll get through. The lines are all clear at the moment, so please get on that telephone quickly. One of the other calls that I took after the program last week was from Robert, who raised the fact that Margaret Miller, my colleague who occasionally stands in for me to do The Law and You when I have other commitments, had spoken about submissions that had been opened for people to make submissions to the family court concerning the way it operates and what it does, etc. And Robert was interested in being able to make submissions. Unfortunately, Robert, the time for making submissions closed some time ago. The website, the web address to which those submissions could be sent was www.alrc.gov.au/publications/family-law-systems-ip. I'm not going to repeat that because I'm sure you're not interested in taking it down given that submissions have closed. But Margaret said that the whole process she felt was a little flawed because, to the best of her knowledge, even submissions that were made by the Queensland Law Society and the New South Wales Law Society were not really taken notice of. So seems like it may have been a slightly pointless exercise if that were the case. But enough of that. We have Suzanne online. Hello, Suzanne. How are you today?
Not bad, thanks. Look, I just have a question about fences again.
Sure.
My neighbour of 20 years, we've always had the same fence put out us without any problem. But new people are moving in and I think they're going to do a lot of renovating. And we're wondering perhaps that they might want to put a new fence in, which we don't really want to do at the moment. We've had other expenses. How are we covered legally if we have a fence there? I mean, it's a pretty old fence, but they're quite all right. But,
well, Suzanne, if there's an existing dividing fence and the dividing fence is in good condition, then or is in reasonable condition, it's not falling down, then there's no reason why you have to contribute to a new fence. If your neighbours want a new fence, well, that's entirely up to them. They would need to reach agreement with you to say, well, look, we want to replace the fence. We'll do it at our expense. So will you agree to allow us to knock down the existing fence and put up a new one? And it would be up to you to come to terms with them in relation to
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, we don't have a problem with that. We're just concerned that they might say, well, you know, you should have a new fence because
no.
It is rather old, but it isn't standing up quite firmly. And,
yep. No, well, as long as it's standing firmly and it's an adequate dividing fence, no reason at all, and there is no way that you can be forced to replace the fence. All right,
then. Thank you, bye.
Okay, Suzanne, all the very best. And we say a very quick hello to Mavis. G'day, Mavis. How are you today?
Hello. My inquiries are about a fence also.
Right.
I'm in a bit of a bind here. I live in Burley Waters.
Sure.
And our patio, we've got a patio on both sides. Now, on one side is a small patio. It's only about 8 foot wide.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a wooden fence. And the palings are situated so the breeze can come through.
Mm.
Now, my neighbours, who I've seen grow up, the two boys, their mother owns the property. She lives up Tin Can Bay.
Mm.
I've tried to reach her, but you can't get her.
Mm.
Now, he has put 6 foot iron on the existing fence.
Mm.
Now, I got in touch with Hermit Forster of the council.
Mm.
Who helped me greatly,
mm.
greatly. And it seems the council says that's the law. Is there any way? Now, it was 36 degrees, not
mm.
yesterday, the day before.
Mm.
And out on that veranda, it was 40 degrees.
Mm.
So, and the only part that has any air is about, 2, 4, 6, 8, about 10 inches.
Mm.
I can't work out in centimetres.
Mm.
And that's the only air coming to it.
Yes.
I last March of last year, we had a pest man come here to spray our home. And the dog, the great big dog they've brought there, it bounced off the fence. It really nearly knocked the fence over.
Mm.
And my husband strengthened it with a piece of steel to the mm-hmm. fence to a
yep.
post, so that kept it dry. But every time we go out, the dog barks and bashes the fence.
Yep.
And all he says is legal. But getting back to last March, mm. a pest man came, and he heard the dog barking. He's
mm.
spraying out there for white ants and everything. And he asked the young lad, could he take the dog for a walk while he sprayed in their yard?
Mm.
Now, he went in their yard and he come back. Honestly, I thought he nearly vomited.
Mm.
He was disgusted.
Mm.
And he said, it's full of dog's feces.
Yep.
And he said, I'm going to ring the RSPCA,
mm.
which he did.
Mm.
So then the RSPCA came and incidentally, by accident, I went out the front And my little
sorry, Mavis, we're going to have to get to the point here, please, if we can, because we have two callers online.
Anyway,
so is the question about the fence?
Through the legal of the Gold Coast, they say it's legal, and I can't do anything about it.
Would it be
worth going to court?
It probably is legal because you can certainly put things on your side of a fence. But what I would suggest you do is contact the owner and ask her if she would agree to replace that particular section of fencing with a type of fencing which is called good neighbour fencing. So what that has is it has one pane or one panel on one side, one paling on one side and one on the other so that you can't see through it.
No, that's what we've already got.
Oh, you've already got good neighbour fencing.
That. And he puts the iron over that.
I see. Well, look,
and what he's done is legal.
There's no question about it. So unfortunately, it is legal. I don't think going to court is going to solve your problem. I think you're best to try and get on to your former neighbour who's the owner of the property and see if you can resolve it with them. But we'll have to leave it there, Mavis.
Thank you very much.
Cheers now. Bye. And we say a very good morning to Anne. G'day, Anne. How are you today?
Well, thank you.
How can we help you?
A neighbour relocated recently, 6-8 months ago, and asked me if we could keep some things in our garage of his, and they're still there, and I'm wondering how long am I legally obliged to keep them for? I've tried to contact him to get him to remove them because we need the space, and he ignores my phone calls. His property.
Right. Do the things have any value at all?
Well, I wouldn't say they had extreme value. Mattresses, bedheads, a table.
Because part of the problem with this, quite honestly, Anne, is that you're probably caught under the provisions of the Uncollected Goods Act. And unfortunately, there's a process to be gone through in order to deal with this. Which part of the Gold Coast are you located?
Mermaid Waters.
Okay, what I would suggest you do then is go in and see one of the free community legal services. So Mermaid Waters, there is one at Varsity Lakes on a Monday. I'm not sure about later in the week, but so that's through the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre, or alternatively, the Robina Community Legal Centre operates in the Gold Coast City Council Robina Community Centre from 6:30 until 8:30 on a Thursday evening. So that might be your better one to go to. Go in and just go through the problem with them. They can go through chapter and verse of the legislation and just tell you exactly what you may need to do.
What was the act called, did you say?
The Uncollected Goods Act.
I could look that up on Mr. Google.
You could. Dr. Google always helps.
Right,
in this case, Doctor
much.
Of Law. All the best.
Thank you.
Cheers now. Bye. And we'll say a very quick hello to Stephen. G'day, Stephen. How are you? Oh, Stephen's gone. Not to worry. Well, thank you so much for the people who've called in and made for such an interesting program. Apologies, Stephen, that we had to keep you on the line there a bit. But hopefully you can call back again next week for which will be the final program of The Law and You. That's next Tuesday. So don't forget that. That'll be the 11th. And I'll look forward to speaking to you then. So until next week, as always, this is John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group saying goodbye and God bless.